Hi, welcome to Corona Cartoons. Took another week off. I would apologize, but I told you I was going to do it anyway, so I'm not apologizing. That's just the way it is. Continuing this week with more animated cartoons from our childhood. I'm very excited about this week. As you could hear last week when I was talking to Chewie, and this movie just kind of popped out of my mouth by accident, and I'm like, I'm going to find somebody to watch this movie with me, and I have to talk about it. And I'm very excited to talk about it. But first, a little bit of a change with the show. As I've told you before, I started this show as kind of a way to calm down between Venture Bros and the Frisky Dingo show that's coming up and try to just distract myself from the global pandemic and horribleness. Not totally, but every once in a while, you know, like you need some time off. And that was the idea. And the fucking thing just kept going and kept getting worse. And it's not really something I want to ignore in this fashion anymore. So I will keep doing this style of show for the next few weeks before we start Frisky Dingo or Welcome to You Are Doom. And I'm not sure what the title's going to be, but next week we'll have a different art and different title, hopefully, if things go correctly. And I'm going to kind of leave the corona part of this behind and just enjoy cartoons from my youth until I start the next show. That's pretty much all the housekeeping, and now I am very excited to introduce the two people who were willing, and not only willing, volunteered to watch Pagemaster with me. We have Alex Arona from Super GG Radio. How are you, buddy?
I am great. It's a nice night, and it's a nice night to watch Pagemaster.
Yes. And then I have a friend from, 20 years?
Oh, don't make us that old.
Is it 20 years? It's about 20 years, right?
Probably.
I know, at least I've known your dad for 20 years, because I was in plays with him. But I'm not sure if we were friends yet, but I have Mrs. Catherine Cliff with us today.
Yay! Hey there. Hey.
In your first ever podcast appearance.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So many exciting things.
Yes.
Get to call out how old we are and do your first podcast. Great.
Oh, you're really putting me on the spot here. Thank you so much.
You volunteered for it. Like I said, I just put out, hey, does anybody want to watch Pagemaster and talk about it on a podcast? And both of you, I went first come, first serve. You were the first two. Boom.
Yeah, I had deep, visceral sense memories all through the rewatch here. I watched this so many times as a kid. I was really excited to get back to it.
I did too, and then it just totally left my mind for years. I even played the video game. Like, I was obsessed with this thing, and then I just forgot about it.
I definitely played the video game quite a bit, and I remember both watching this in theaters and having the VHS and watching it on loop.
Oh my! Yep. This was one of those movies where I'm like, Dad, can I go see Pagemaster? And he looked at the paper, looked at me, and went, no. So I had to wait for video.
Yeah.
This was peak Macaulay Culkin.
This was tail end Macaulay Culkin. He had three movies this year and then nothing for like a decade.
But like, I remember I was all on board. And then I remember he did, I don't remember if it was before or after, when he did The Good Son.
That was before this.
Okay, I just remember being really bummed that I couldn't watch The Good Son because I was like, it's Macaulay Culkin. This is going to be fantastic. It's going to be a nice, happy romp. And then I realized what it was, and I was like, oh, man, I wanted to...
Yeah, there's nothing happy about that movie. It's quite bleak.
Yeah.
But yeah, in 1994, he had... Or I think it was 94. Whenever this movie came out, he had this, he had Getting Even with Dad, and he had... I forget the other one, but he had three movies this year, and then fucking nothing for almost a decade.
Until, what was it, Saved?
Saved? He did 2000s.
He did Party Monster as well.
Yeah, he did Party Monster and then Saved, but I think they're like right back to back. Like they're right around the same time. Mm-hmm. And he was on Broadway before that, and he, I think, opened and closed in a week. He didn't do too well on Broadway.
Aw, poor Macaulay.
I remember him being on Jay Leno talking about it. He's like, yeah, I tried. I go by Matt now. It's weird. And now he's back to Macaulay Culkin because nobody wanted to call him Matt. No. I have a strange amount of Macaulay Culkin trivia, and I don't know why.
What was the name of his band again?
I don't have that much. I feel much better.
It was the Pizza Underground, I think it was.
Oh, fuck, you're right. So, Pagemaster, I'm just going to do a briefest of brief summaries of the movie so we can kind of just jump around and talk about however it is. I'm probably going to start with where we came from to it, but just so we can talk about everything. Pagemaster is essentially... If you've ever seen those posters in a library with a celebrity and it says read, it's a movie version of that. It's pretty much the whole movie. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Pretty fair.
It's a big advertisement to get kids to read. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. In fact, it's pretty wonderful. But as I'm watching it as an adult versus a kid, I'm like, holy crap, this movie wants kids to read.
In a way that, like, it, what makes it so interesting is that it's such a big commercial to the point that they have what Christopher Lloyd just saying, you can find adventure in a good book. It's like, that's just the poster. That's just a poster that you're, that's like, okay, you're just putting a poster that says read and then have Christopher Lloyd on it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, not a problem. It's just kind of obvious. But I'll be a little bit nicer than that. So the movie is basically, there is this kid, Macaulay Culkin, Richie, not Richie Rich, but a different Richie. And he's just afraid of everything under the sun. He's all about statistics, how easily it is to die, just kind of a scaredy cat. And he goes out for a bag of nails to help his dad, gets caught in a rainstorm, ends up in a library, ends up in a cartoon world inside the library where he finds the books Horror, Adventure, and Fantasy. He goes on wild adventures with them, finds the strength within himself to be a braver, more well-rounded child, leaves the animated world, takes home these three books that are titled Horror, Adventure, and Fantasy. It's a whole different thing. And then he falls asleep in a treehouse, and that's pretty much the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really short movie, in fact.
Hour 15. Mm-hmm. This movie flies. A lot happens in an hour and 15 minutes. Like, they hit a lot of stories.
They do, but then they get to fantasy, and then they're, like, just kind of vague fantasy. Here's some fairies, here's a dragon. And it's, like, adventure gets a couple specific stories. Yep. Horror gets a couple of specific stories, and then it's just, well, we can't tread on Disney properties, so fantasy?
I mean, that's kind of fair. Yeah. And secondly, like, even like watching it now, as he's getting to fantasy, I'm like, they're fantasy. She's got a wand. Why don't you just magic yourself to the exit? And that's essentially what they do.
Yep.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's just a little too real. Like, it's like, oh, that's the exact solution. That's not much fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he had to fight the dragon, so.
Kinda.
It's just so weird because they did have these specific stories where horror was like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and the adventure was Treasure Island. And so it was like these very specific, and the references were a little more in depth. I don't know if you guys caught some of those things where they scare the pirates by the book Horror using an echo to kind of scare them off. But that was the solution in Treasure Island, the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those references are like there.
It's a surprisingly well-written movie. This is kind of silly. Get your kids to read by watching a movie book.
Yeah. That made sense, right? I feel like it was written by and for librarians. Like, there's all these little like Easter eggs for like they go into horror and there's a raven that flies by and goes nevermore. And like, there's just all of these little weird things that are like a kid would never notice.
But there's also this weird sort of love letter to filmmaking in it too. Like, in I mean, that's where I'm coming from. I mean, obviously, I've After the Hype, all that movie stuff. But like, I'm looking at the sets when they're in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and like that horror story, and they look like they're lifted right out of the original Frankenstein. And like the color palette's there, the big sweeping staircases are there. Like, it's all this just kind of like perfectly recreated from the original films back in the day. And I thought that was like a really cool nod for something that's all books all the time. They still took a moment to be like, yeah, but these books were adapted to movies. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of what they looked like.
I also like the touch of everything kind of devolving into books. And I know it's about books, but at a certain point, they go into this haunted mansion, and then they leave and scale out the back. But when they're scaling out the back, they're climbing down books to the point that, like, the mansion, the back end of it is just bricks made of books.
Yep. Even the dragon's stomach as he's going down there, like, instead of, like, kind of bones jutting out, there's, like, books jutting out. And yeah, it's the book design is all over the set design on the movie.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I watch a lot of animated stuff, obviously, with this show, but there's something to be said about production design and art direction in animated films, and it usually goes largely either unnoticed or unmentioned, and it's nice to watch a movie like this that has been, I don't want to say forgotten, but kind of forgotten by, I mean, our generation, and we didn't really show it to the generation after us, so it's kind of disappearing off into the ether. And when you watch it, it's like they really cared and put a lot of effort into just the locations and just how the locations come to be. Like, that hidden book feature was something I totally didn't notice at all as a kid, but in my adult years, I'm like, this movie is beautiful.
Yeah. Except, can we talk about the book character design, horror, fantasy, and adventure?
I mean, it's flawless. What do you mean? You didn't like watching books make out?
Oh, my that was gosh. Weird. Oh, my yeah. gosh. And the joke about her panties right at the very end. I was right? like,
so
oh!
weird.
Yeah, right in the beginning. That's how it starts. Is like, oh, here's fantasy. And, oh, I had to fix my panties. And it's like, oh.
Well, yeah, but it, at the end, after Adventure kisses her and he's like, you want to cuddle up with a good book? She smacks him and then it shows her at the entrance to the cave pulling up her panties.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little Me Too there, guys.
this seems like off, you know, that you have like your main studio movies and then this one's kind of on the side where it's not quite. It's got polish there. It's got this really great attention to detail, but they're doing some stuff that would normally be kind of like the big studios would take that and be like, wait a minute, let's not put that in there.
It's yeah. mostly just with the jokes. Like the jokes, they really seem to be like, we know this is a kid's movie, but we're going to make those parents laugh and we're going to try to go sailing over the kids' heads, which I think to a large point they succeed in. Because I didn't get these things as a kid. It's not, I'm not trying to defend it. I'm not saying it's okay, but it is one of those, like, what they're trying to do, they pretty much succeeded in. It's just, they probably shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, good job. You pulled it off, but why?
Yeah. They're not quite at, like, the Pixar level of appealing to the parents and the kids.
No.
No.
No, but I mean, that's Disney's bread and butter. Is like, hey, yeah. look, this movie's for your kids, but you're going to like it too. We've been doing this our entire career.
Yeah.
They're good at it.
Yeah.
These guys were a little bit more rough around the edges.
Yes.
And I'm willing to forgive it. Like, I'm not going to be lining up my son to watch this movie anytime soon. He's only two. But like, so, I feel like there's still an age group that would appreciate it, I think.
Yeah, maybe? I couldn't get my 8-year-old to start watching it with me because she thought it was going to be scary. She's just at this, I don't know. She's a little bit like Rich. She's a little scared of things right now. But she kind of wandered in about halfway through, somewhere in the middle of like the adventure portion of things. And she just sat down and got absolutely glued to it and didn't leave till the rest of it. Loved the rest of it. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Since gone back and tried to watch the beginning?
This was only yesterday, so.
Okay. So not yet.
Not yet. I imagine she will. Now, okay. She always wants to know that a movie has a happy ending, and she doesn't trust me when I tell her it will, so.
Have you lied to her in the past?
No!
It's like, no, there's... Titanic has a very happy ending. Some people
sounds
live.
Like a story. It sounds like there's some
no.
pain behind those.
No! She used to be so much more adventurous. I don't know what happened.
You lied to her about an ending of a movie.
I did not.
It's clearly what happened.
I did not.
Well, at least it wasn't Pagemaster, because Pagemaster does have a happy ending.
Yes, it has a very happy ending.
It's awkwardly happy. Like, the parents are looking for their lost child, find him asleep in a treehouse. They're like, whoop, good enough.
Yeah, don't even wake him up
like
to see where he
hours.
Was.
6 hours.
Yeah.
In the middle of like a hailing thunderstorm, like a bad storm, that his dad got mad at him and sent him out without checking the weather.
Yep.
The kid got lost in a storm, like, well, he's in a treehouse that's not finished yet.
Okay, can we just say that even like aside from the fact that it was storming, if you sent a kid, an 8-year-old kid on his bike to a store that far away today, someone would call Child Protective Services on you. Like, you can't do that anymore.
Since we're talking about him going to the store, I have to bring this up because I didn't want to forget it. And it's so important. So if you've been listening to Corona Cartoons for a while, in the beginning, we did Roger Rabbit. Mm. And if you were paying attention in this movie, Richie drives through the exact same tunnel that takes Bob Hoskins to Toontown.
Oh my gosh.
It's the same tunnel. And me as like the filmmaking LA nerd, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to a cartoon land. He went through Toontown. And I'm just losing my mind while watching it last night. Sorry for the divergent, but I was just so excited when I saw it. I'm like, holy shit.
Well, I was going to say, Catherine, sending your kid to go get nails in town, and it may take him like an hour. It was a different time.
Uh-huh.
I can imagine my mother doing that to me when I was, you know, what, 1994? I was nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, living in LA, as you guys don't, he's driving down canyon roads where people go like 90 miles per hour. Like, this kid is lost.
Yep.
Like, lost. Like, that tunnel is near no society.
Can we also talk about the fact that this poor kid has anxiety? Like, he has some undiagnosed anxiety, and his dad's solution is basically, toughen up.
Yeah, just... It's the kid who's afraid to swim, so he gets thrown in the ocean. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah.
He could drown.
Like, he's got a fear of heights. He's like, I'll just build him a treehouse.
Yeah.
Like, well, come on, man. Like, I feel like there are smaller steps you can take.
Yep, something a little less drastic.
And he's just so hysterically stubborn. He's like, I'm building a treehouse he won't use. And she's like, well, he's afraid of heights. He's like, he needs a treehouse.
Yeah, so what is the expectation there, right? I built him a damn treehouse. He better like it.
Well, he doesn't like those things, though.
Yeah.
Well, fuck him, then. Whoa, yeah, exactly.
I've tried everything.
Have you? Have you tried talking to him, or are you just still trying to make him be the son that you want him to be? And then the movie rewards the dad!
I know! At the beginning, he's like, I feel like I'm just a bad father. And his blessed wife's like, no, you're not. And I'm here like,
Us here in 2020 are kind of like, eh. Bad might be a strong word. I definitely wouldn't say good, though.
Yeah.
Not how I describe you.
But speaking of father-esque figures, this movie does have Christopher Lloyd in it.
Oh my gosh, the pause before his first line when he's just like walking towards it was the longest, most uncomfortable pause I can remember in a movie in a long time.
I mean, he's very good at that.
Yes.
I just love Christopher Lloyd. Like, whenever he pops up, it's just like, oh, this movie's a little bit better right now.
Yep. I think I more strongly associate him with this movie than with the Back to the Future franchise, because I watched this a lot more as a kid. So to me, he is the page master more than anything else.
I never said that I'm totally on the same page as you, because that'd be ridiculous that I didn't watch Back to the Future more than Pagemaster. So I'm not agreeing with you that I'm in the exact same boat. That's just not the case.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Just so we're all clear, I didn't do the same thing.
Can't lose your film cred here.
Nope, can't lose it. Nope. I love the Back to the Future movies. I've even seen the third one.
It's laminated.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen the third one. I never got around to it. I'm sure it's fine. I hear there's a train in it and the kid's really creepy at the very last shot. I've seen enough of it. I'll get around to it. I like the first two.
You get the gist.
I get it. Trains, you know, cars, whatever.
Horses.
This one had animated books.
Mm-hmm.
Much better. Which we didn't really talk about. I got sidetracked with the making out, the sex of the books, which is just weird. The biology of it just confuses me, but you know, whatever.
You don't need to sexualize books.
Right.
No, you really don't.
Yep.
Then again, they cast Patrick Stewart as one of the books, so you already kind of did it.
I did not realize that Patrick Stewart was in this movie until this rewatch, and it's because his accent is so totally different to anything else he ever does.
He's a very good voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's just a very good actor. I feel like people still kind of forget that because he did so much TV work, but he's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
I think he's done quite a bit of voice work.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
I mean, if you just look at this, I mean, he doesn't, like, you don't go, oh, that's Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Like, that's, they don't even sound remotely the same.
No. IMDb says that this was his first voice acting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's even more impressive.
Yeah.
First time out of the gate. Like, yeah, no, I would never would have guessed. And I liked Patrick Stewart when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I never would have guessed it was him.
Yeah.
The one that you can guess, obviously, is Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
That one's pretty obvious.
Very, very. Also her first voice acting thing.
But that's Whoopi being Whoopi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
There's she no character really go... as much there.
Yeah, she didn't really go too outside the box with the character beyond just being not Whoopi Goldberg. She's not a fairy book thing. She's a woman. But beyond that, it was pretty Whoopi. And it did make me go, God, I miss Whoopi Goldberg.
You know, I don't know. Have you seen The View?
Oh, no. I miss Whoopi Goldberg. Like, you know, from the 90s when she was fun.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I was like, have you seen The View? You watch The View, you think, hey, I don't know if I miss Whoopi.
Yeah, no, I mean old school Whoopi. I'll even go up to Rat Race. She was really fun in Rat Race, that movie everyone
You know, loves. Rat Race doesn't get its due. I like Rat Race.
I totally agree with you. I love that movie. And...
But the art design of the books, just like, I don't know, the way that their faces are on the spines never bothered me as a kid, but really creeped me out as an adult. I think it's something about the way their mouths jut out from the bottom. I don't know. It's
Here's where it gets weirder for me. It doesn't bother me with fantasy or adventure, but horror creeps me out. And it's not like creeps me out like, oh, it's horror. Of course it's creepy. I'm like, it looks like his skin is peeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I get it. It's a tattery old book. Okay. Yeah. They get a little like frayed around the edges, but he's also alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of gross.
He's got the weird jaw. He's kind of got like a droopy eye. There's a lot going on there. His arms are just a little too long.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. He's supposed to be like the doofus character. So they try to make him look a little doofus-ish. And they obviously threw in a little bit of Frankenstein's monster style sort of thing. And like, I kind of get where they're coming from. I don't think it necessarily landed. Like, maybe it did as a kid. Because I agree, it didn't bother me at all as a kid. But as an adult, I'm like, bleh.
Yeah.
And like, they threw in a little Hunchback of Notre Dame. He started yelling Sanctuary.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yep, that's also there for sure. I mean, he yells it a couple times, doesn't he? I think it's like his go-to yell.
Yeah.
But other than like I don't remember who voiced Horror. I don't think that was like a named actor. I think that was just more of a famed voice actor or acclaimed voice actor. I still really like all three of the characters. Like, I actually think they did a good job, like, trying to embody the style of book that they are, like, in their mannerisms, the way they interact with Richie. I think it all kind of worked. Like, I thought for such a ridiculous premise of these unnamed books, random horror, random fantasy, random adventure, and when he picks out the physical books later, that's all they say on the title, is just the genre. And these are long books, like, very, very long books. And I don't know why this kid would want them, but whatever. But when they're in the animated form, I buy it. I think they did a really good job with the casting of the all. Like, I thought the chemistry of the three books worked. I thought the chemistry with them and Macaulay Culkin worked. You really kind of buy their friendship.
Yeah.
Adventure kind of treating him like a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really dark, though, how desperate they are to get out of the library. Like, it makes me desperately want to go to the library and just, like, find the most tattered books I can and say, I'll bring you home. It's okay.
So the movie worked.
Yes, it totally worked. But I can't go to the library, Brian.
Maybe this was a bad one to watch during lockdown.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny enough. We watched it, and then they get to the library. My partner goes, who lives near such a giant library and doesn't bring their kids?
Right?
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. How does that kid not have a library? Corin has a library card. He's two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, to get my library card, I had to have, like, a freaking utility bill and, like, two proofs of residence and my driver's license, and Macaulay Culkin just walks in and scrawls his name on a card.
That's all I had to do in Burbank. Burbank, they're just like, what's your name? I'm like, Brian. Like, all right, here's your library card. Thanks.
Man.
Oh, cool.
I guess they're really scared about us using up free resources here.
I live in Chicago, but only the part of Chicago that's been sanctioned off for O'Hare. So the nearest library is like half an hour. I had to go find that library, get a card, and then go to a closer library that's in a nearby suburb, and then tell them, hey, I want to be part of their library. Here's a Chicago card. And then they have to let me in.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It was a whole to-do. Yep. By the way, Franklin Welker, the voice of Horror, voicing Fred Jones.
Oh,
the
okay.
voice of Fred Jones. And it's cool.
Nice.
That's really cool.
Huh.
So it's not really like a known actor, but it is a known voice actor.
Yeah, I saw he has like a ton of voice acting credits.
Well, and this movie also has, I always forget the actor's name, which drives me nuts. Oh my God, I'm just going to look it up because it's going to kill me.
I was surprised that the parents weren't more well-known actors.
I mean, the dad has been in stuff forever. Like, that guy is everywhere.
He's the dad is one of those, like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's never the villain, but he's always kind of a jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I got to ask, who was your favorite book?
Who was my favorite book in the movie?
Yeah, both of you.
Oh, I gotta go. If you'd asked me as a kid, I would have said adventure. But now, because of the whole very awkward ending, I'm going with horror. At least he's kind of innocent throughout.
Yeah. As a kid, horror was always my favorite because I just kind of felt bad for him, I guess. Now, I guess I got to go with fantasy because that is the only woman in 90% of the movie. So, yeah. You know, ooh. Solidarity.
Well, I think I can count them all. And I just watched the movie like 3 days ago, and I still think I can do it.
Two.
Well, we have the mom, the book, and
fantasy.
Well, you have one little girl on a bike who's like, ah, Richie's scared.
Ah, yes, by Chekhov's bike ramp, right?
Yeah, so yeah. I think we got three. But this movie has great representation. What are you talking about?
I was also just going to say, in all fairness of this movie, there aren't a lot of characters, period.
Yeah, and they're relying heavily on classic literature. But again, if they had been more specific with the fantasy part, they maybe could have gotten a couple more female characters in there.
I mean, especially fantasy. Because yep. I think there's like a female fairy that flies by but doesn't say anything. It's like, come on, guys. Like, this is not that hard of a thing to fix. But again, different time. They didn't think they had to. It's like, what do we mean? Women aren't people. It's 1994. Well,
I also think there was this kind of idea in the 90s that boys don't read. And so maybe maybe they're coming at it from that angle. Like, we want to make reading really cool for boys. Get them into the books.
I guess. Yeah,
which I still find it funny. The dad is kind of harsh on the son initially with the problems of him being too timid and tried him out for baseball and he bored everybody at baseball. So obviously the kid doesn't have a whole lot of friends. So what are we going to do? Like, oh, he's now a library card person, just like loves being at the library and reading. Books are his only friends.
Yep, so. He literally says that. You're my only friends. Oh,
so that's kind of where I kind of felt a little bit weird about what this was saying. It's like, if you have no friends, books will be your friends.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's good. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it'll get kids reading more. they're definitely not going to be weirdo introverts the rest of their life, but you know, they have books.
Nobody.
Yeah. The actor that I was trying to think of before who's in this movie is Jim Cummings, and I wanted to get his name right because he's so fucking famous. He is the official voice of like Pete in all of Disney, Goofy's neighbor guy.
Was he Long John Silver?
I believe he was one of the pirates. He's one of the main pirates. So yeah, I think it would have been Long John Silver. He was doing the same voice that he does for Pete almost, but just a little bit more piratey.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the second I heard him, I'm like, I know that voice from everything. He's also the voice of like Winnie the Pooh now. Like, he is just one of like the all-time greats in the voice acting world.
Yep.
Okay.
Just wanted to make sure I got his name right. Not just like, you know, the guy who plays Pete. That one just felt wrong.
It was with him that one of my favorite laugh lines came, which was one of the pirates was saying, I'll show you the colors of his insides. And Macaulay Culkin yells, red, red, they're red.
You ain't wrong. It's a good guess.
I mean, it's just kind of an awesome moment of just like, well, no, I'll just tell you, it's fine.
Yeah.
we're cool. Oh, poor little Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. So I usually ask this question in the beginning of the episode, but it was just so much fun just to dive in that I didn't really do it. So I'll ask it now. Do you guys remember your first interaction with this? I know, Alex, you said you saw it in theaters, but do you remember like? Was this one of those movies, you know, like when you're kids and like a movie like this comes out, you watch like, well, that's my favorite movie of all time. Did anybody have that sort of knee-jerk reaction to this one, or was this just yet another movie you saw?
For me, this definitely was that, oh, this is my favorite movie. I'm so excited. I think it was on the popcorn bags. It was on the cups. There was toys. And like you said earlier, the video game, which I played wholeheartedly.
When you were playing Bomberman?
I love Bomberman.
I know you
do. I will defend Bomberman to the day I die. But this was one of those ones that I just kind of glued onto that this was what I really enjoyed. There is a slight personal funny story. I actually started reading a lot of, this worked on me too, where I started reading a lot of books and I started reading the classics. They had like these, for kids, these...
Great Illustrated Classics?
Yes.
Yeah.
I read as many as I could get my hands on, and so that's where this kind of led me to that, where I was really big on reading those classics and I got to find more about the horror, or I got to find more fantasy books, and I got to find all that stuff. It just kind of led me to where it really kind of just made me super inspired as a kid to just be excited about books as a whole. And, you know,
the weird thing it did for me with books as a kid, and like I had a similar reaction where I'm like, well, that's the coolest thing ever. And it was mostly just because of the scene where he gets abducted into the animated world. I loved the whole like animation dripping from the ceiling and turning into a dragon and chasing him. I thought all that. I still think that scene holds up pretty well. It's just a really cool, pretty scene. And that scene just hooked me and I loved it. But the weird thing this movie did for me with books was it got rid of the intimidation of long books.
Mm.
Seeing Macaulay Culkin at the end with those three huge books, I'm like, I can read those? I thought those were only for adults. And that's when I started picking up longer and longer books.
Nice. Yeah, so as a child, I had probably some undiagnosed anxiety of my own.
Also, did your parents lie to you about the end of movies?
No. and also deeply loved reading, and also did not have a lot of friends in elementary school. So this movie was like, oh my gosh, like it's, I don't know, like on some level, it's okay. Like you're going to be all right. So yes, I do remember really, really like just on a lizard brain level connecting with this movie.
That's where, like, I think I'll wrap things up with this question then. If we all three had such a strong reaction to this, I know we can't be alone. And even when I did, like, my Facebook post of, like, hey, who would want to jump on with me? I had a whole ton of people be like, yes, please. If we all kind of had this knee-jerk reaction, we all had this, like, deep love for this movie, why did it go away?
I think there's a level of, you know, like, an A-tier, B-tier, C-tier, and I don't mean that in quality. I just mean that the way it kind of came and went, there was a phase where this was like hot and then kind of cold so fast that, and then even in that time frame, I feel like if I were to go to movies of 1994, you could find these movies being a dime a dozen. They, for instance, one of the ones that I was kind of thinking about, oh man, what kind of other movies is this, kind of made me think of what other movies I may have forgotten. Fern Gully.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I remember watching that movie on repeat. I remember characters being like, this is my favorite character of all time. I don't remember any of it right now. I can't. I think there's a character named Bartok? But I don't remember
right.
enough of that movie because they just, at a certain point, they just became, they came so fast, just like pumping them out. Like, okay, here's another kids movie. Here's another kids movie. We're going to sell more McDonald's glasses. And yeah, it just kind of hit hard, so it came and went. That's the only thing I could think of, really.
That's interesting. What do you think, Catherine?
Yeah, I'm just looking through 1994 movies. It's the right year, right?
Yep.
And the kinds of things that would appeal to kids. I mean, Lion King, let's be serious.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah. So, you know, maybe it just kind of came out at the wrong time and got buried under the behemoth that has always been Disney.
And it's interesting because, like, I mean, anyone who's listened to any of my shows knows my feelings on Disney and the lack thereof. But to its credit, is Disney will always back its material. Like, it has to be profoundly bad for Disney to just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even, like, Lion King has been around since it came out. It's still coming out. They just released another one of them. Like it's on theaters. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they have that capital to put behind their projects. Whereas this thing was a normal movie. And I think that might have more to do with it because Disney sees each property as an investment. Like, yes, yeah, they'll make some box office money, but they're going to make a shitload of money elsewhere. And a lot of other a lot of other production companies don't treat their movies like that. Maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. There's a different argument there. But I think maybe that's kind of what happened to this. Maybe with a juggernaut like Lion King coming out, where they're not going to let go of Lion King for years past this. Like, they're constantly put out toys and everything. And all that's when they were still doing all the direct-to-video movies. Like, they kept Lion King going. Whereas this one only had the one movie, and it had a little bit of fanfare after. And then when it faded, there was nobody there to kind of keep pushing it out. And maybe that kind of had something to do with it, because it definitely caught on. Like, we all liked it.
Yeah. Is this 20th Century Fox? Is that right?
I believe.
Yeah. So. Yep, yes. It is. Yeah. So it's Disney now.
That's
so
true.
Maybe it'll make a comeback.
How is this not on Disney Plus?
I don't know.
Come on, Disney.
Right?
Don't but make me go on another rant about how terrible you are.
Well, maybe we need to start a campaign. Bring Pagemaster back.
Yes. And so actually, just as I'm watching, I'm like, this thing would make a pretty decent remake. Like, this is not a bad idea to put out there for kids.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, movies are great. TV's great. Try books.
Reading
They've
is great.
Been around longer.
You can't go out and make friends right now. Why not read a book?
Such a good opportunity. Except you can't go to libraries, as you're just now. Yeah. Go to libraries, except that you can't.
No, don't do that.
Just as a reference, I was looking through and saying, like, what could have buried this movie? And, yeah, The Flintstones, Little Rascals, Monkey Trouble, Three Ninjas Kick Back, D2, Blank Check, Little Giants, Santa Claus, Richie Rich. I see Richie Rich was another one. I loved Richie Rich. They just go on and on. There was tons and tons of movies.
Yeah, 94 was a big year.
Yeah, and that's kind of, and then again, you go like 1 year off, I think, or 2 years off. 92 was Fern Gully. 96, I think, was Batman Forever. Like, there's a lot of these. Just like, oh, okay, yeah, this is full. Oh, The Shadow.
The Shadow. That's a rewatch. Everyone's favorite movie.
No, I'm planning that one and Dick Tracy. I actually have a plan to rewatch both of those.
I just watched Dick Tracy like 3 weeks ago.
Is it good?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Warren Beatty crushed that movie. Okay. Highly, highly recommend. If you've never seen Dick Tracy or you need to rewatch it, highly recommend it. If it freaked you the hell out when you were a kid because of its practical uses of makeup, good news. It will still freak you the hell out. Speaking fully from experience, Moonface is still freaky as hell. He's only in the opening, and it scared me my entire life. You know, I'm over it, though. It's cool. Final thoughts on Pagemaster. Is there anything that we've missed that you feel needs to be said about this movie? Take it away, Alex.
As far as the Pagemaster is concerned, I think that it is a quality children's film that did inspire me to read and feel like, hey, I may not have had the most friends, but books did make the world a bigger place. So I definitely think The Pagemaster is worth a watch, despite, again, the sea of other quality films at that time frame. Pagemaster stuck out with me as well as Richie Rich.
Perfect. God, Richie Rich, this movie, and Getting Even with Dad, all 1 year. I think we had a little too much Macaulay Culkin in 1 year. Catherine, what about you? Final thoughts.
I think I loved this movie a lot more as a kid than I did as an adult. But but I think it had a really important function for me as a kid, just kind of, I don't know, validating my love of reading and my love of libraries and all of that stuff. And if it can still do that for kids today, then it's definitely worth a rewatch, even if they can't go to the library right now.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much on the same page. Like, I really, really enjoyed rewatching this, like far more than I was thinking I was going to, and I expected to enjoy it. But that said, I don't think I'll be flying back to it anytime soon. Like, probably not till Corin's old enough to watch something. And that said, like, I don't think it's a movie that you necessarily shouldn't show to your kids, even though it, unfortunately, like many movies from the 90s, hasn't aged very well as far as jokes go. I think it's worth it just because of that inspiration to, like, show you just like a glimpse of, like, hey, this is some cool horror stuff that might be scary, but not in a bad way. You could enjoy it, or some adventure stuff, or some fantasy. It's a good way of just, like, what kind of grabs your idea, as long as it's not really fantasy, because we're not going to spend too much time there. But I still think it's like it's worth a watch, and I think it'd be worth a watch with kids, as long as you're willing to have that conversation afterwards to explain why, hey, that joke might not be funny anymore, or just kind of explain some of the more questionable stuff, which I think as our generation gets older with their kids is going to happen a lot more. Which is a good thing. Like, it's a bad thing that it happened, but it's a good thing that we are a generation that's going to be willing to talk to our kids. No offense to the generation before, Dad, if you're listening. But I think that's about everything I can say on Pagemaster. Let's do a review system. What book would you use to rate this movie? I know it's a tough one, so take your time. Just pick a book out. If you could read a book that would make you feel the same as this movie. It's a tough one, I know.
That would make me feel the same. Okay, so I'm going to... this. Maybe this is weird, but I'm going to go with the Golden Compass.
Okay.
Because for me, that was... it was also a really formative part of my childhood, but it has a lot of world jumping, moving between different places with different features and feels to them. And I think that's a big part of why I love both those properties.
I'm going to go down a similar path. I'm going to go with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
And mostly because it's one of those books that I read after seeing this movie. Because it was one of those, it's a little bit longer than what I'm used to reading, and I bet I can handle it. And it had some parts that scared me, and had some adventure, and it's chock full of fantasy, so I think it kind of hits the same tones. And I don't think I would have ever read it had I not seen this movie.
Awesome.
What about you?
I will go with Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde for very similar reasons. I remember that, again, those children's illustrated classics. Though Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was like the first one, I think, based off of this movie that I sought out and was like, well, okay, this is what I know Pagemaster, and it told me all about it. So this book will be just the exact adventure with some more details. And of course, it was a little scarier than I would have originally would have wanted to read that early. But I remember enjoying it and still fond of that one today.
Have you gone back and read the actual book, or are you still just rereading the great illustrated classic?
I have not. I have not reread the, but I'm in that phase of my life where I'm rereading like old classics and stuff like that. So it actually may be an idea to do that.
Going to pick up Moby Dick next.
Oh, and, I finished Catch 22, and that was a big one for me.
Moby Dick is a book I've put down 3 times, and I don't think I'm picking it up again. Same with Dracula. I put down Dracula twice. If I pick it up again and I don't finish it, I'm done with it.
I think all you need to know about Moby Dick you get from this movie, so it's good.
I mean, I saw The Heart of the Sea. That's the same thing, right?
Right.
I read Dracula, I think, 5 years ago, and then I watched the Keanu Reeves movie.
I regretted that one. For hours on why that movie is a goddamn masterpiece.
That's one of my brother's his cry movies. He says that it's like a really intense movie because Dracula superseded time to be with someone he loves.
The filmmaking involved in Bram Stoker's Dracula is so perfect, it's scary. That movie is a masterpiece. You know the shots like when they're on the train and they're going through and you see like the superimposed Dracula in the sky? That's a double exposure. Mm-hmm. They use the same film. That's not a computer effect. They actually shot that on the same strip of film. That's amazing. That movie is perfect. I can go for a long, long time. In fact, if you want to go back to an After the Hype episode on Dracula where I do that exact thing, you can go to hhpod.com. Seriously, watch Dracula. It's great. Sorry, Alex, you did not enjoy it.
That's okay. It was more Keanu that I thought was Keanu and what is her name again?
Winona Ryder.
Yeah, Winona Ryder.
Yeah, she's never the right choice.
Oh, come on. Another 1994 movie, Little Women, and she's amazing in it, and you can't argue with me about it at the end.
I honestly can't. I actually think Little Women's a great movie. Thank you. Yeah. I might not like her in it, but I think it's a great movie.
It is a good movie.
I think that's everything I have to say. This was a lot of fun, guys. I was a little nervous because this past week was a rough week for the entire world, and I was a little nervous about talking about something fun, but this was actually really nice.
Yeah. Everything's been on fire, but at least this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
So I know Alex has something to plug. Catherine, if there's anything in the world you would like to plug, please, this would be the wonderful time to do it. I will kick things off very briefly with hhpod.com. Go there. We have so many shows, so many articles. I could not recommend any of the other stuff that people do on our network more. They are all very, very talented. Please go check them out. ATHpod.com. Alex, you're on a show, right?
We are a Super DG Radio, a podcast about beta testing video games and ever exploring our ever growing backlog of video games. I have two other co-hosts. We hang out, just friends hanging out. We also have occasional guests. Anchor.fm/SuperGGRadio is also twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio and Twitter at SuperGGRadio.
Catherine, do you have anything you would like to plug?
I don't make anything. You can for sure cut this out, Brian, but there, Leonard Nimoy's in this movie, and there exists out there on YouTube a video of Leonard Nimoy singing Bilbo Baggins, the greatest hobbit of them all, a song that he made in the 70s where he is wearing the Spock ears, but singing a song for some reason about Bilbo Baggins. And it's bizarre and delightful. And if you just need something else to take your mind off the world, go and watch that.
Why would I ever cut that out? I need to go watch that the second I'm done recording.
Okay. So if I'm going to send you a link, because there's a particular one that I link to in my classes for my students, I make a link right before finals that says finals solutions. And it links to that video. And the comments under it, someone commented recently, my professor linked to this, as like, instead of Rickrolling us, linked to this. And there's a whole thread underneath there where people are like, oh, best professor ever invented Spock rolling. So that's all about me.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, there you go.
And you said you had nothing to plug. You invented Spock rolling.
There we go.
That's a real thing now. It's out in the world.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you guys so much for this. This was a very fun episode. I really enjoyed revisiting it, and I loved our conversation. It's a very good evening.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks for having us.
I'm going to say bye!